Today is the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. The epistle is from Acts chapter 12. In those days, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to afflict some of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And seeing it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to take up Peter also. Now it was in the days of the Azymes, and when he had apprehended him, he cast him into prison, delivering him to four files of soldiers to be kept, intending after the Pasch to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shined in the room, and he, striking Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And the chains fell off from his hands, and the angel said to him, "Gird thyself, and put on thy sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And going out, he followed him, and he knew not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And passing through the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which of itself opened to them. And going out, they passed on through one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And Peter, coming to himself, said, "Now I know in very deed that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." In the Holy Gospel, it's from Matthew chapter 16. At that time, Jesus came into the quarters of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man is?" But they said, "Some John the Baptist, and others some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." Jesus saith to them, "But whom do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answering said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth, it shall be bound also in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, it shall be loosed also in heaven." Thus ends the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Of course, today we have this grand feast, the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, indeed a day of holy day of obligation in the universal calendar, though not in the United States. These two men who, by their martyrdom, began the conversion of Rome. Saint Peter, the first pope, the keeper of the keys of heaven, the first shepherd of all the flock. Saint Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, the one who, with his solicitousness for the flock, kept them in the faith, the whole Mediterranean world. And if we say that it's the blood of martyrs that is the seed of Christians, then indeed the blood of these two men that we celebrate today was the seed that led to the conversion of Rome, to the conversion of the entire Roman Empire. But the greatness of these two men, of these two apostles, stems quite simply from the fact that God chose them, that God elected them. Precisely because God wanted these two men who came from very different backgrounds that made their vocation. Saint Peter was a fisherman. St. Peter did for a livelihood what some of us do for recreation. And yet God turned him into the first pope, the rock upon which the church was built. St. Paul, his entire life revolved around persecuting the Christians. When instantaneously, he became the greatest ally of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was there standing, holding the coats of those who were stoning Saint Stephen, the first of the deacons, who was preaching our Lord Jesus Christ. Saint Paul was there holding their coats. And as his voice, Saint Stephen's voice, died out, God realized that the message had to continue. And so God chose St. Paul, and his trumpeting voice sounded forth. "This man is chosen, a chosen vessel unto me," says the Lord, "to carry my name among the nations." God chose St. Paul. It's the only reason why he became the apostle that he did. And as I said, it's no different with St. Peter, a fisherman, a man from the countryside. But again, God wanted to show his power. He wanted to take a fisherman and make him a fisher of men. And as the breviary says about St. Peter today, "Simon Peter, before I called you away from the ship, I knew you." When God wants to change someone, when God elects someone, calls someone for a very powerful mission in the church, he does. Perhaps you know the story of Ratisbon. Ratisbon was a Jew. His brother had converted when he was much younger. And so Ratisbon hated the church. This is the 19th century. He hated the Catholic Church because it had stolen his brother away from him. Ratisbon was to be the successor of his uncle, a very, very wealthy banker in the east of France. And before he took over the business, he went on a vacation. He went to Rome and his other places. There in Rome, a friend of his gave him a miraculous medal. Said, "Wear this. And say this little prayer every day. If you don't believe that the God of the Christians is a mighty God, then just do these simple things." So Ratisbon, scoffing at the idea, said, "Okay, I'll wear it." And he did. And he said the Memorare of Our Lady every day. And he hated the church all the more. And he planned to leave a few days later. But his friend took him to a very ugly church in Rome, San Andrea delle Frate. And there praying, looking through the church, all of a sudden, the Catholics saw Ratisbon on his knees. He had seen the Blessed Mother, and she had told him to go and to be baptized. Instantaneously, he was converted. Why? Because God chose him. God chose him to change his heart. And it's the exact same with our beloved apostles today. God chose them, despite their very different backgrounds, to be his vessels of election, to take his message. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life." These men were changed. And it was no easy thing for the beloved apostles. St. Paul says, "Woe to me if I preach not the gospel. I have therein no ground for boasting, since I am under constraint." But because these two men did the will of God, look at what happened. They prepared the foundation for the conversion of many men through the Roman Empire. these two pinnacles of the church, of whom St. Leo says, of these two far-seeing eyes which surpass every possibility of praise, their election by God made them parallel, their labors rendered them similar, and their goals made them co-equal. Because of the great work that they did, even though St. Peter was definitely greater as the Pope, nonetheless, it's why we see these two conjoined always in the sacred liturgy. It's why tomorrow, for the commemoration of St. Paul, you will see another prayer in honor of St. Peter. The great apostles were elected by God. But this isn't the case for all men. Not all men are chosen by God to fulfill wonderful missions in the church. Not all men are called, as these apostles were, to be converted instantaneously, to be known in the annals of history. Not all of us are meant to be great in the eyes of history. The world tries to tell you that you're all meant to be great in the eyes of men. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do something. You constantly hear it. The youth, they constantly hear that. Don't let anybody ever tell you you can't do something. This is rubbish. Of course there are things that you cannot do. It's the book of Romans. So then there's no question. It is not a question of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God showing mercy. It's only when God elects us for a great mission in the eyes of men that we can be such. If you don't have the ability, I'm sorry, but you won't be a great soccer player. If you're born blind, I'm sorry, but you will never be a great airline pilot. I'm sorry, ladies, but you will not be priests. I'm sorry, men, but you'll never be Mrs. America, because God has not elected you to be these things that are considered great in the eyes of men. And how cruel the world is to lie to you constantly and to tell you whatever you want to do in this life, you can do it, because it's not true. But God hasn't put this intense ambition in our hearts for no reason. As I said, many have been misguided by this ambition. Many have wanted to be great and have ruined themselves in the process. How many men say they want to climb Mount Everest for the sake of standing on the pinnacle of the world, being at least at one point, they say, above all other men? 4,000 men have done it. Over 200 have died trying. Oh, he died doing what he loved. We always hear that. He died, he jumped from an airplane. He died doing what he loved. Well, that's to his shame. Because of this ambition to be known, to be something, something that would merely pass, drive men to put their lives at risk for nothing, for adrenaline. Some men trying to make worth of their lives have given themselves to things that are perhaps even more noble, to defend their nation. Just being at the Normandy beaches not long ago, before the 70th anniversary, how many stories there were of men who, though, yes, trying to do a noble thing, defend their nation, their lives, humanly speaking, were wasted. Some of those men jumped out of the boat only to be drowned by the weight of their knapsacks. Some of those men were shot as soon as the gates of those boats went down. All that training for nothing. And as one German soldier who had been at the beaches and had retreated all the way to St. Lo, there dying, as he said, "All this just to die in this rubble? This doesn't make any sense." 4,000 men died at one beach alone, their life wasted. It's not to disparage those who sacrifice their lives for their country. But the point is, history is very cruel. Human memory is very cruel. Even Saints Peter and Paul, as great as they were, some men know nothing of them. In the middle of St. Peter's Basilica 3 weeks ago, and a man with his wife and children from the United States comes and asks me, "Can you tell me who was St. Peter? Who was Peter?" So I explained it. And at the end, he finally got it. After 5 minutes, he finally says, "Oh, he was the first pope then. Is that what you're saying?" Even these great saints have been forgotten by history. Ambition is only worthwhile if it's directed towards Almighty God. Because as I said, not all men are meant to have their names written in history. But all men are meant to have their names written on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. All men are meant to be remembered and known by our Lord Jesus Christ. Even if we're not elected to do what these great apostles have done, it doesn't mean that we can't call him to try and get his attention. Like when a football team is being picked, a pickup game, of course, the ones who may not be as good, they're not the first ones chosen. But they do their best to try and get the attention of the captain who's picking them. And we must do the same with our Lord. Even if our lives are not, humanly speaking, wonderful and known by all, who cares? We can still get the attention of the Sacred Heart. And all said and done, that's all that matters, is that we attained the attention of the Sacred Heart through a life of charity. Does he know who you are? Have you gotten his attention? Have you nagged him constantly in your life of prayer, at Holy Mass, in the confessional? And if Saints Peter and Paul are remembered today, yes, it's because God chose them, but also because they themselves loved our Lord Jesus Christ with all their hearts. When it became clear that God chose them, they did everything in their power to serve him. That's their greatness. And don't be afraid if sometimes you've tried to escape the providence of God for you. Again, look at St. Peter, constantly trying to escape even his vocation. Running away in the Garden of Gethsemane, hiding after the death of our Lord. And he had to make up for that. "Simon, do you love me?" 3 times he had to say, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But even then, even soon before his own martyrdom, we're told by tradition that St. Peter was going to be martyred, and he tried to leave the city of Rome. And our Lord passed him. He says, "Peter, where are you going?" "Quo vadis?" There's a church built on that very spot. You still have the imprint of our Lord's feet as a relic in the Church of St. Sebastian in Rome. "Peter, where are you going?" It was Peter who asked our Lord, "Lord, where are you going?" Our Lord is going into Rome. St. Peter was leaving. Our Lord said, "I'm going to die in your place." Even then, even days before his martyrdom, St. Peter was afraid of the vocation given him. Let's not be afraid of the vocation God has given us. Again, even if it's humdrum. Isn't it a beautiful thing to accept the fact of being a Catholic mother? Isn't it a beautiful thing to accept the fact of being a Catholic father? We can still gain the attention of the Sacred Heart even in that vocation. Let's accept it, because God has chosen us in a different way. And may these two great saints help us to live truly full lives, according to the designs of providence, that is, according to the will of God, that is. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do, even here and now? To gain the attention, not of history, not of men, but of the only one who matters, of our Redeemer, of our Judge, of the Sacred Heart. That's all that matters. Not a question of dying doing what we love, but dying under the gaze of whom we love, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And in so doing, whatever happens as a result of our life, we will give glory to God, who has ordered from the very foundations of the world that you be in the vocation that you're in now, or if you're discerning that, that you leave yourself open to that vocation which God has chosen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.